Tonight in Chicago, the James Beard Foundation is holding what's known as the Culinary Oscars, an annual award ceremony in honor of the world's top chefs and restaurateurs, people who really know what they're doing in the kitchen. But what about the rest of us? Turns out, even if you think you're a great home cook, you're probably making a lot of mistakes. Chef Anna Sortoon has been thinking about those mistakes and the simple ways to avoid them. She has won her own James Beard Award for her work at Oleana, one of the restaurants she owns in the Boston area. I walked down to our kitchen the other day, and I asked her to tell us about some of the mistakes we make.
A lot of the times I see overcooked or mushy broccoli because people are steaming it or boiling it a lot. And I have a way of doing it that I love. I think it's foolproof. It comes out delicious every single time, and it's super easy.
And what is it that you do?
Well, some of it is cutting. So you can trim down the broccoli a little bit from the stem, right? Start at the stem and just trim it all the way down until you get to the florets, until you can actually just kind of break it up with your hand.
Uh-huh.
Then you get pieces that are all about the same. And you just do this to each and every section of the broccoli.
And you keep those pieces of the stem.
Yeah, I love them. I think they're delicious. But you want them to be all about the same size so that they cook about the same time. And then what I do is I take a little bit of olive oil and butter. You can use one or the other, but I like to use a little bit of both just to keep things lighter.
There we go. Pouring some olive oil into the pan. Put a little butter in there. Both of them at the same time.
Both in the same time. And then you're going to start to see your butter is going to start to melt here.
Okay.
So I'm just going to glaze it a little bit by taking the broccoli and putting it in the pan.
Not even boiling it.
Not even boiling it. And this is, you can do this same thing with green beans. But what's sort of funny is you're not really sauteing it. You're almost sauteing it first, and then you splash it with a little bit of water. To steam it through. And then everything's just glazed and nothing's mushy, and you can season it as you like, and it takes much less time than waiting for a pot of water to boil or your steam.
So why do so many people do it the other way and steam their broccoli and then maybe throw it into a pan afterwards?
Well, I think they think it's easier. They think there's also a rule of thumb about blanching green vegetables, and some people think that you've got to boil everything that's green, and you actually don't. Not when it's super, super fresh, super good. You don't have to. I mean, This is a great way, and as soon as we get some heat here, you'll start to see how it'll turn dark green. Then you add a little bit of water to your pan. Only maybe a tablespoon or two tablespoons is enough to sort of cook it through.
Well, while we are waiting for that, I know that you also have a pork tenderloin here with you.
I do. I've got, so one thing I think that is a rule of thumb that everyone needs to follow is the cooking is almost nothing compared to the resting. So a really good piece of meat rests for at least 10 minutes. And a lot of people skip that, or a lot of people will sear it really hard and then cut right into it and then not sure why it's so dry.
So after you are done cooking it, you've got to let it rest. You're saying this is something you would do right afterwards.
Exactly.
But before you eat it.
You'd want to sear it. And again, a little bit of butter and oil is always a good rule. If you want to get rid of the butter, you can.
I love how you just put your hand right in the butter and it's so soft.
And then it's always a good idea to dry it because you want to get a nice even brown on
it. You don't want any water on there when you put it in the oil.
No, you want to pat it dry. And I think people forget to do that too. You just want to all it is a paper towel on the bottom just to dry it off a little bit. And you don't want to crowd your pan either, and you'll get a nice, you'll be able to get a nice browning on both sides. The other thing that happens too is, have you ever been tempted? So most people they can't leave whatever's in the pan alone. Like they want to make sure it's not sticking. So they try to check it and it sticks to the pan, and then they get mad because it sticks to the pan. But actually what happens when things are browning is as soon as the surfaces are caramelized, it'll turn naturally. So actually when something's ready to be flipped, it won't stick.
Now, you're just putting a little bit of salt on while it's in the pan onto the pork.
Yeah, so I literally just season right as I'm cooking. It's all under control. The other thing I do, too, is I listen to the pan. In other words, this shouldn't be spitting and popping, and all the flames that you see on TV means that you're in trouble.
How does this apply to fish? Is there a total difference when you're cooking fish?
So Fish can be a little more delicate. If it's a drier piece of fish like cod, you have to be careful. But if you have an oilier piece like salmon or striped bass, those will render just like this and get a really nice brown side to it. In fact, I brought some scallops with me, too. I love to caramelize scallops, and I cook them from the bottom up.
Is that something that's easy to do for most people?
It's easy if you're not tempted to turn them before they say they can be turned.
Well, let's check out. How do you do that with the scallops?
So what I'm going to do with the scallop is I'm going to just put it in. Again, it's a nice even pan that's not making me nervous. It's not too hot. It's making just the right amount of noise. I'm not afraid of it popping at me at all. So it's really just trusting your instinct. I can even see on this that I can see the edges on that scallop getting brown, which is really, really, really nice. And you want to watch it caramelize almost. You can watch the whole process just from the side if you look at it.
Well, while we are waiting for some of these things to cook a little bit, tell me a little bit about onions, because I know that that's one thing that you think a lot of people get wrong.
Well, I think a lot of people want to leave them out because they're such a pain to chop and all the crying that happens when you're chopping onions. But to me, they're essential. They're the soul. They're a body. They're sugar. And it's almost like, when you start cooking onions, you're cooking. The whole house smells good. It's like vegetarian bacon. It draws a crowd, and it's really the soul of everything, but it's also a lot of natural sugar that you don't want to give up. So I always say, if you're going to leave something out of the recipe, don't leave out the onion, whatever you do.
But there is no way to get around the crying, right?
Well, there's a lot of wives' tales, but usually when an onion's pretty fresh, just kind of suck it up and get through it.
Now, I have to say, I'm getting nervous about those scallops. How would I know at this point in cooking them that it's not time to flip them?
So basically what I've got is it's white here, and it's still rare in the center. And that's what I'm looking for. And I can see that the bottom, there's like a tiny little crust forming. And once I start seeing that, then I know that it's not going to stick, and I can actually check it.
And you just lift it up with your fingers there.
Yeah, and because my pan is a reasonable heat, it's not smoking hot, and I'm just getting them caramelized nice and slow. See, that one still has some spots on it there.
Uh-huh.
That's not quite as far as I want it to go, and I'm just going to go a few more seconds until it's almost cooked, and then I'm going to flip it for a second and it's done.
I have to say, it's starting to smell really good in here.
So basically, the broccoli now is cooked when the water has evaporated. And I could have this whole pan full of broccoli and it would still do the same thing. So, what happens when you start doing the broccoli is you brown it. It starts to turn this dark green and look almost cooked. Add a little bit of water and this softens the heat and just steams it all the way through. But yet it's not waterlogging the broccoli. You're not just cooking it in water so it becomes mushy and watery.
So we've got our surf, we've got our turf, we've got our broccoli, and we've got our onions. What about rice? This is something that people cook all the time, or grains, quinoa could be. Are there things that we're doing wrong there?
Well, with any grain, I think sometimes people overcook it. So then you have the same sort of problem that you do with your broccoli. It becomes kind of mushy, wet, heavy. And you really want to give it, what I like to do is slow it down when it's almost cooked. Turn it off and let it finish cooking for the last minute off the heat, and then it just sort of swells, and it almost swells and fluffs at the same time.
So a big message then is just resting. Allow things, when you're done cooking them, to rest for a little bit before that's a part of the process that we often just skip.
Yeah, I think all restaurants, they cook your meat when you order it, then they rest it for 10 minutes, and then it's kind of cooled down because they're smaller portions. It's not a giant roast. Then they just reheat it.
Reheat it where?
Perfect.
How do you reheat it? In a
home
kitchen.
Throw it back on the stove
and
a pan.
Just for a minute or two?
Just to heat it through. Pop it in a toaster oven even. Pop it in the oven. Literally just to get it hot through again.
Uh-huh.
And then when you go to slice it, it won't bleed out all of its juices. But so this is its resting stage right here. And And what they do in the Middle East, which I love so much, is they rest it on pita bread or flatbread so that not a drop of flavor is lost. And then the best part is that bread after.
Yeah,
because it's full of meat juices. So resting is a very important thing to and a key way to get every piece of meat that you cook to taste better.
Well, Anna, is there any other mistake that we've left out of this discussion that you want people to know that they make and they shouldn't be?
Well, I think anything that you're cooking is never a mistake. So cooking something, you learn from your mistakes, right? So hopefully, I think that mistakes are good because the next time you cook it, you hopefully won't be discouraged. You'll be encouraged to do it, do it better or try to figure out what you did wrong in the first place.
Well, Anna Sortoon, thank you so much for taking us through all of these things. This food looks delicious, and we'll put some of your tips up at our website, hereandnow.org. Anna, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. I appreciate it.